you call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
So here we are with Radio Adelaide's Nicole Whitting for all the latest in Australian news. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Tess.
How are you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Perfect, thanks. So, another unfortunate event for Malaysia Airlines, where their plane was forced to return to Melbourne after passengers tackled a man in bomb threat dramas. What happened here?
Yes, so heavily armed police were called to a plane at Melbourne Airport. As you said, a man who claimed to have a bomb tried to enter the cockpit of a Malaysia Airlines flight. So the flight was to Kuala Lumpur, but it was forced to turn back to Melbourne shortly after takeoff at around 11 on Wednesday night. And when all of this was happening, the man was tackled by crew members and several passengers who overpowered him and tied him up with belts, I guess not wanting to take any chances. So heavily armed police wearing helmets and body armour and carrying rifles, we got all these pictures of that on the news. So they boarded the aircraft after it landed and placed the man under arrest. And so it turns out that in the end, the man who tried to enter the cockpit was a 25-year-old student from Sri Lanka. And Victoria Police said the incident was not being treated as terror-related and that the man was known to have a history of mental illness. So I guess, you know, in the age of terror, it would, like, frighten everybody, this happening. But he apparently didn't even have a bomb. It was, like, Bluetooth speakers or something. So, yeah.
Yeah, so do you think, like, the response was warranted?
I mean, it's hard to say without being on the plane. I mean, the passengers seemed really, like, stressed out when they were being interviewed after. And, you know, I suppose if you see, you know, somebody running towards the cockpit, you'd be worried. I mean, you'd hope that, you know, everything was secure enough that you wouldn't have to, like, tackle somebody and hold them down. But apparently the flight attendants were asking passengers to do that. So I don't really know what happened on the plane. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, I guess in the kind of day and age we're in now, especially with Malaysia Airlines' reputation in regards to terror attacks, I can kind of understand maybe a slight overreaction to what would normally go on. But
yeah, exactly. I mean, as soon as somebody says, like, you know, they have a device like that, like, I think I would panic as well.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so calls for Margaret Court Arena in Melbourne to be renamed after the tennis champion said she would no longer fly with Qantas because of the airline's stance on same-sex marriage. So she wrote an open letter to Qantas about the issue. What has been the response to that?
Yeah, so when Margaret Court wrote this open letter about Qantas, social media got a hold of it and people were really upset about it. And, you know, even though Margaret Court is a former tennis champion, people are saying, you know, someone who stands against inclusiveness shouldn't have an arena in Melbourne Park named after them, basically. And so, like you said, Martina Navratilova and other tennis players have joined the call as well now for the arena's name to be changed, saying that Margaret Court is on the wrong side of history. And obviously, like, so this arena also gets, like, musicians playing there, and so I think it was Ryan Adams also was criticised this heavily. It doesn't really reflect, like, most people's views anymore. I mean, like, marriage equality, you know, poll after poll, like, the majority of Australians support it. And so, interestingly, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said he didn't support these calls, though, to rename the arena. And he said, you know, whatever people think about Margaret Court's views, she's entitled to fly whatever airline she likes and have these views. And, you know, the arena was named to celebrate her as a tennis player. So, yeah, whether people advocating for the change will get what they want is yet to be seen, I guess.
Yeah, because, I mean, why do you think she targeted Qantas as an airline?
I think the other week, Alan Joyce, I think, like, the chief executive of Qantas, he got a pie thrown in his face, and it was by this person who was actually protesting Qantas's views on marriage equality, because I think Qantas had recently announced they support marriage equality as a company. But, you know, like, there's not many other airlines for her to fly with, like Virgin Australia also supports marriage equality. Then they're really the two major airlines here. So, you know, I'm not sure if she's going to have many options.
Yeah, because, I mean, it seems to take a stance on something you disagree with, it seems like an airline is a funny place to tackle.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, a lot of companies are coming out and saying that they support this.
Mm.
You know, so it's interesting why airlines.
Yeah. Okay, so also a great white shark jumps onto a fisherman's boat, injuring a 73-year-old man. That sounds absolutely terrifying. What happened?
Well, this story, funnily enough, was not a huge deal here, but I thought I'd mention it because it's actually gotten a lot of attention from overseas news outlets. Like, there was a New York Times story about it. It was just all over Twitter. And so, this man, Terry Selwood, 73, he was fishing offshore on the New South Wales coast, when this great white shark launched itself onto his boat. The man said he caught a blur of something coming over the boat when all of a sudden the fin of the shark hit him on the forearm and knocked him to the ground to his hands and knees. And this shark was apparently 2.7 metres long and about 200 kilograms. Yeah. And so, you know, this small boat was only like 4.5 metres long, and so it was just this man and the shark. And there's a lot of pictures of the shark too. Luckily, the man, you know, in the sense that the great white sharks had killed people and stuff, you know, he came off relatively lightly. You know, people said that he'd been bitten by a shark, but he didn't. He just hit his arm. And so because sharks have very rough skin, he just sort of tore the skin off of it. He was taken to hospital and treated for his injuries, and is kind of surprised, I think, at how much attention it's getting, because he said for him it was just a mundane event.
Did the shark launch itself onto the boat and then he had to hoist the shark back out of the boat?
Yeah, exactly. So because the shark was on top of him, it was sort of like a dance kind of between him and...
A wrestle.
Yeah, a wrestle, exactly. But he actually, he was struggling for a while, and he called local marine rescue volunteers. They came out, and because he couldn't actually get the shark off of the boat, but he got out from under the shark, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Is this something that can be expected when fishing in Australian waters, or was this quite out of the ordinary? I mean, it did gain all the media attention, so I suppose.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's probably happened before in Australia, and that's why it wasn't like a huge story here, because if it was like the first time ever, maybe it would have been a bigger story. But the fact that it's gotten a lot of attention like everywhere else, I think, I suppose it is unusual, but if you're a fisherman like in that area, you're probably always careful and always knowing that there are those sharks and stuff.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.